The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Thursday edition of a numbers game here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown in for Gil. One more day. I'm out of here tomorrow. They kick me out.
You're out of here. Get out of here, Brown.
I'm only good for 4 days here.
That's right. You're only good for 4 days. Dustin Sweetelson in tomorrow.
Kelly Bidlin alongside, as always. We got a golf tournament going on. We'll let you know how that is. Look at the leaderboard, and you're kind of like, oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Maybe there was a misread on this one a little bit here. But, again, we'll see.
Long tournament. Plenty of golf to go.
I was going to say, yeah. Long tournament. Things can happen for sure. Zach Cohen going to join us. We'll get his thoughts on everything going on out there in the sports world. Of course, part of the college football betting guide that we have coming out next
week. That's right, man.
See what he has to say about that.
Wrote up a Big 12 and Heisman Trophy, so we'll talk to him about both those.
Maybe a LeBron take.
Mm-hmm.
You know, see what he thinks.
See what he says
about that. Ryan McIntyre from the Sports Gambling Podcast Network going to join us to talk some college football as well. But Kelly Bidlin, we do wonder about last night and if that was the final straw. So the Detroit Tigers led 7-0.
How fun was this?
Through six innings. And Tarek Skubal's out there. He's, you know, in what may or may not have been his last start as a Tiger. That being said, cruising. They win this game. Maybe they make a certain decision. Maybe they decide that they're going to go for it.
All we know is it's the game seven of all game sevens.
Yes. And so we look at this and we're like, okay, 7-0. Tiger's going to have a decision to make when it comes here, you know, on Monday. Then we blink, and the next thing you know, this thing is going to extra innings as the Orioles come all the way back. And not only do they come all the way back, they win it in 12 innings, 10-9 over the Tigers. They hung five on them in the seventh. And then you look at this, it wasn't even their home runs. It was just stringing together hits for this Orioles team left and right. And then you now you take this and you go, okay, this team has now failed to seize the opportunity in front of them in a very weak division. You have the blue chip of all blue chip trade chips that you've got in your corner right now.
Yep.
I think this might have been it. And I mean, again, it's not like they're out of it, Kelly. It's not like they're dead.
Mm-hmm.
But you lose a 7-run lead with your dude on the hill after he was dealing pretty well. By the way, we're not even talking about the Orioles. The Orioles actually have a better record than the Tigers. Like the Orioles actually, because they're in the division that they're in.
Hey, I got a win total over bet on him. Yeah, did I tell you on that?
Beginning of the season. But it's just funny because we don't even talk about the Orioles. If the Orioles were in the Central or the West.
Right, we'd be talking about it.
Yeah, it'd be like a huge conversation. But Orioles get it done, and I wonder what you think. If you're watching this, and you are a front office person there in Detroit, you're up 7-0. Your guy was dealing. Your bullpen goes out and lets his lead go away. Not only goes away, you lose the game.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it? Are you shopping him? Are you going to pull the plug? Are you got to get something in return?
I mean, yeah. It's probably more of the what is Tarek Skubal thinking about that? Right? Is this just get me out of town sort of game?
That's true. And I mean, remember, Kelly, this got steamed something fierce. If you were on the Orioles, like you got paid, like I think it was plus 170 by the time this thing closed or
something.
Sounds
about right. We saw, when we were on the air, by the time we got off the air, it was like minus 190 in most places. So I don't even know where it ended up closing at, but we watched this steam 20, 25 cents during the show yesterday. I don't know. I mean, good on Tarek Skubal that he hasn't been wildly outspoken, you know, on his feelings and really sounds like he's kind of handled this all very well, including speaking last night quickly. It's now been a season where he's seen it go every which way, right? This offense spots you seven runs. Like, fine. Drew Anderson and a couple of these bullpen guys, Kyle Finnegan and others, not going to be very popular, I think, in the Detroit Tigers locker room today.
Just unbelievable.
We've seen it early in the year where he was struggling to get run support, right? It's like, okay, now you get the runs, the bullpen falls apart. It's got to become frustrating for him at some point.
How about another blown lead from a team that has somebody that is outspoken? The Philadelphia Phillies were up 6-0 through five innings, and then they lose to the Marlins 8-6. Philadelphia now 57-52. The Marlins, after that giant losing streak, now back over 500. They're 55-54 on the season. Jesus Luzardo was great for them. 6 1/3 was actually cruising for the vast majority of this game, Kelly. And then again, here we go. Bullpens come in, blow games. You got Bryce Harper saying we need help. He was talking about a bat, but you look at this bullpen now, a couple days in a row has not been able to hold leads and stuff. And so here they are, Marlins. And by the way, almost left for dead, this Marlins team. And here they are, a couple wins in a row, big wins in a row, and now they're back over 500.
Yep. Yeah, it's just wild, man. We're going to talk some yes-no playoffs later in the show. Just the log jam of these teams is crazy.
It's hilarious.
It's really wild. So what do you got? 6.5 back now, or the Phillies have lost 9 of 12, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is bad. And we'll see if they go do something. You think they would, because it's another National League. You got Dodgers, you got Brewers up top, but like who's the next threat, right? Yeah. I think that's open for discussion. Phillies could work their way into that mix.
Diamondbacks 3-0 over the Pirates. They shut them down. Eduardo Rodriguez continues to just baffle. We always say that this game is... There is variance in baseball, Kelly, and just because there is variance, it does not mean that regression has to happen this season even. So Eduardo Rodriguez goes out and just absolutely shuts down this Pirates offense. Eduardo Rodriguez, of 26 qualifying pitchers that have a sub-350 ERA, he is 24th or worse in every single category that there is. Walk rate, strikeout rate, expected ERA, all the different things like that, yet he is dancing through the raindrops. The regression monster will not come for Eduardo Rodriguez, at least not yet. 3-0 Diamondbacks over the Pirates, and here we are again. We keep talking about this logjam, and you said we will mention all of these a little bit later. 57-52 for this Arizona Diamondbacks team. What are they going to do at the trade deadline? How do they view their real chances in all of this? Because again, this is now coming to the point where it's not necessarily whether you think you're in the mix or not. You're definitely in the mix.
Right.
It's, do you think you actually have what it takes to get something done? So are you going to sacrifice what might happen next year or the year after that to try to chase something this year? And they're going to be squarely in that decision with this win here. 5 games over .500. I mean, they are in it.
Yeah, I mean, season ends today. They're a wild card team, right? It is Cubs, Diamondbacks, Phillies. And then, man, you have got, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teams within 2.5 games back of that last wild card spot.
Just unreal. Jared Jones, it was a good start for the Pirates. Just, again, they just couldn't hit Eduardo Rodriguez. So it just kind of is what it is there. Doubleheader yesterday between the Mets and the Braves. The Mets take game 1, 3-2 of that doubleheader. In game number 2, 1-0 Braves over the Mets, and it was quite the pitcher's duel. Chris Sale, Christian Scott going at it. Chris Sale, 6 innings, 2 hits, no walks, 9 Ks for him. Christian Scott, 6 innings, 5 hits, 1 walk, 7 Ks for him. Both of them go just shy of 100 pitches. The only run scored in the 6th inning, Matt Olson drove in a run there for this Braves team, and that was all that they needed. Atlanta combined for the shutout here with Sale going 6 and then 3 different pitchers going an inning apiece. So Braves continue to just my biggest whiff of the offseason was this Braves team. I thought they were going to be a little over 500. I didn't think they had what it takes, but health has been at least somewhat on their side so far, mainly from a Chris Sale standpoint. Yeah. He continues to go out there and deal every time. And all they needed was one run, Kelly.
You were by yourself, right? I felt like they were a common popular fade team before the season started. And yeah, Braves playing great ball.
Giants 16, Brewers 3. I went and checked my account this morning, and when you play an over in a game and it doubles, you still only get paid for one bet, one unit. Like, you don't get double. So that's it. So
try the prediction markets. Maybe it'll work there.
We did go 1-0 yesterday. This was the only bet in the account. The over 7.5 definitely got there. 19 runs were scored here in this game.
Hey, good thing you played the game over and not my question about the Brewers team total. Over.
Yes. Yes. Yes, good stuff.
That would have been a terrible
one. Yeah, good stuff there with that one. Milwaukee was tied for the best record in baseball. That is no longer as they take the L here, and we'll get to the Dodgers in just a bit. Padres 3-1 over the Rockies. So now, again, 2 games over .500. Mason Miller, one of the super popular names that people keep talking about over and over and over and over again. Is he going to get moved? Can you deal him? What are you going to do with San Diego? They are 2 games over .500. They are absolutely in the mix of everything. Can they possibly sit in a room and decide that they're going to be sellers, especially with the very best closer in all of baseball.
Yeah. I mean, is the difference here with how the teams will be deciding this stuff, Matt, is just the American League feels more open than the National League?
I think
so. The Padres could still make a move like that and it could be justified a little bit.
Yes. I think that it's one of the deals where I think it's easier for an NL team to punt on the season, even if they're in the middle of it, because they can just go, look how good the Brewers and Dodgers
right,
are.
Right. Right.
And even the Braves, you maybe throw the Braves in there
yeah,
as well.
Yeah.
You just go, look how good those three teams are. Come on, we can't really do this. So you might be able to get away with it if you're the Padres and not lose the fan base. On the American League side, I think it's pretty tough.
Right, yeah.
Because
yeah.
there isn't a single team that anybody is scared of in the American League.
Yeah, you just want, because it's, you could keep Mason Miller. You could keep Mason Miller and still miss out on the playoffs. You know what I mean? And then that's kind of a lose-lose situation. So I think it's going to be interesting how the different leagues handle this going down the stretch here.
Rays 3-0 shutout of the Rangers. Mackenzie Gore, 7 innings, 3 hits, 3 runs. He only gave up 3 hits, Kelly, for the Rangers. The problem was is 2 of those 3 hits left the yard. And so when that happens, that's how you end up losing.
Shucks.
Yeah, that's how you end up losing 3-0 games. I only gave up 3 hits, but 2 of them were dingers. And so unfortunate start there for Mackenzie Gore. And again, Tampa continues to win. They just 63-44. Great season going on for them. Texas seems like a theme here. They're 55-53. So there's another team 2 games over .500. We'll continue to wrap up what happened last night in Major League Baseball, try to paint a picture here, what we think might happen moving forward, and what we think might happen come Monday, and get into one bet. Just another one bet for me today, Kelly. Don't love the slate, but hey, if we go 1-0 and keep going 1-0, we can make a bunch of money.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
I've never played in a professional golf tournament, and I know these guys can do things that I would never be able to do in a million years. I don't think Jackson Coivin's going to be able to get a very good shot off.
Is
right
he
here.
Attempting this? He's attempting this.
I think he is going to...
I thought they just showed his ball clearly lodged underneath a chain link fence.
It is.
But he's going to hit it out of it.
But I think he pushed the fence because it's not a permanent structure.
Right.
And pushed it and was able to, I think he'll be able to get a club on it, but regardless, it's not going to be fun.
I always wonder, like, to what extent can you take that, right? Like, let's move the fence this much, and then let's pull one of the poles out and move it further back, right? Like, they're moving people right now.
Yeah. He called the rules official over. Maybe he's getting a free drop.
He's got to be dropping it. I mean, one way or another. There's no way he's hitting that.
Yeah, so maybe he gets a free drop because that's a...
That's one
Again,
of those
not a permanent structure thing.
Yeah, I think you're right. That's one of those like the tree roots, right? Where you'd be like, kid, just don't hit that shot anyways. Like, this is only terrible things can occur here.
We're sitting here and, you know, you are having a real problem with this broadcast because they will not update.
Ricky Fowler moved to 7 under like 7.5 minutes ago.
Kelly is full on Brody from Mallrats right now, and he just keeps looking at the TV going like, they can't update the score bug. And it's just like, the kid is back on the escalator. Like, it's just over and over again. But
kid
yes.
Is back on the escalator. He's driving me down. Hey, we bet on these things. Sorry, the old television producer brain of mine cannot handle this, but we're about 10 minutes behind on whatever broadcast we have on of updating their score.
So get with it, ESPN and or PGA Tour and or both or whoever's, you know, handling this.
Somebody's on vacation right now, losing their mind, man. Their backup's dropping the ball.
They are. Now joining us here on the guest line, Ryan McIntyre. You can find him over on the College Experience on Sports Gaming Podcast Network at Moneyline_Mac on the Twitter machine. How you doing, buddy?
What's up, guys? How you doing? We're getting closer to college football. I hear you guys talking some golf.
Yeah, that's right. We're getting close.
We are getting close. We said it, you know, we get to this point in the year, and Ryan, we are full speed ahead, right? We are allowed to talk football as much as we want to. Once you get to the end of July, it does become football season, and so glad to have you on here to talk some college football, and got some win totals that I really do like to that we can get in nice and early here, and one of them that kind of stuck out to me is Liberty at over 8.5 wins at some plus money. We know Liberty at, you know, a couple of years ago had basically the easiest schedule in the history of college football. They were going to go undefeated, it seemed like, no matter what. Gotten a little bit tougher for them, but you still like them to get over that win total.
Yeah, weird year last year. I mean, Liberty's proud program that spends a lot of money, spends almost like a Power Five program, and for them to be 4-8, lost a ton of one score games last year. Six out of their eight games were one score losses. But Chadwell had some health issues at the coaching position. So they revamped their roster. They go out. They got more competition at the quarterback position. I think the defense has improved. I think they have a chance to win 10, 11 games. This is still a program that spends at the top of the Conference USA, which is by far the weakest of the conferences in college football. I expect a big bounce back here for the Flames down there in Lynchburg.
Like it. Ryan, thanks for joining the show. Love having you on. I love these win totals, man. We got a bunch of overs that Ryan sent us, and there is nothing, Matt, I don't know about you. Mm-hmm. College football, sell me on an over 2.5 wins. I love that type of bet. UMass is where you're looking, Ryan. Make the case for them.
Yeah, me and my co-host Colby Dant, we got a good laugh out of this doing the UMass preview the other night. But you look at their schedule, man, like, First off, I know they went 0-12 last year, so everybody looks at that. But they were the most injured team in college football. They go out. Another team that's spending at a higher level in the MAC with NIL, they've improved their roster. Pop Watson coming over from Virginia Tech. And Hrizmiak, year number two. They bought two games. They're playing two FCS teams. So you're buying two wins there. Then you just need one FBS win to hit the over. I love that play. I think that they're closer to a 500 team in the MAC. So 2.5, I think you're stealing money here.
Love it.
Ryan, let's get to another plus money one, because I do love these plus money ones as well. And you can find some plus money on Marshall over 7.5.
Yeah. Love the Thundering Herd here. Tony Gibson, year number two. I thought they overachieved. Their win total was like 2.5 or 3.5 last year. They were chippy defensively. Year two, Rod Smith at the offensive coordinator position. They invested in the portal as well. They get a great schedule withdrawing the weaker team from the opposing division. Some about the throwback league where they still have the East and West. So Marshall drawing two of the bottom teams from the West. I think their only games that they're going to be underdogs are Penn State and James Madison. So and maybe Old Dominion. But so, yeah, give me over 7.5 for the Herd.
All right, we're going to head out to Mountain West now. And yes, I did need to confirm this before setting up this question, Matt Brown. Mountain West Conference, New Mexico, another one you're looking over with UNLV at the top of the odds for Mountain West, plus 260. New Mexico just a little bit further back, plus 265 over at DraftKings. Ryan, looking at over 7.5 wins for them, right?
Yeah, Jason Eck did a great job year number one. Won 9 games. He was great at Idaho the year before that. I just think that they won 9 games in a tougher Mountain West last year. They lose Boise, they lose Fresno State, they lose San Diego State, they lose Utah State. Those are four of the top tier teams in the Mountain West going over the Pac-12. So now they get a watered down version of the Mountain West. I think this number's off. I think Eck and company challenge UNLV to win the Mountain West in year number two.
Talking to Ryan McIntyre, find him over College Experience over on Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Tell me about Iowa.
I mean, death taxes Kirk Ferentz. It's not going to be sexy. It's not going to be entertaining. But all they do is win ball games. Last year, they finished 8-4, and they had 4 losses by a combined, I believe, 15 points. They were right there to beat Mendoza in Indiana at home. Lose a tough one there. They lose on a walk off field goal to Oregon. They almost win at USC. So all this team does is win ball games. It's never sexy. It's never entertaining. But we know how hard out they are at home. They get Ohio State coming to them in Iowa City for the first time in almost a decade. Last time Ohio State went there, they lost by 40. I just think Iowa gets a favorable schedule again, and over 7.5 wins. Ferentz wins 8 games every year, so I will bank on the over once again in Iowa City with that defense.
Okay, I like it. And then heading to the Big 12, they might be 50-1 to win the conference, but you're going to look over on West Virginia as well.
Yeah, I think the Mountaineers are going to start the year 7-0. I think they got a great schedule. Rich Rod, year number 2, always takes a step traditionally. Bringing Cam Cook, leading rusher in the country last year from Jack State. Michael Hawkins coming over from Oklahoma. Offensive line is revamped, bringing in Trickett back. And I think the defense has improved. So you look at the schedule, you get UVA in a neutral, in quotes. That game will be more of a Mountaineer crowd. And then you get 2 first-year coaches in Iowa State and OK State. And then you get Arizona and Cincinnati. So you start 3 out of 4 at home. I think you hit that over 5.5 by Halloween at the latest. And, yeah, I am sprinkling the golden blue here to win the Big 12.
Ooh, like it.
All right, Ryan, let's go to the couple of these big boy conferences and get your overall thoughts on them. The SEC led by Georgia and Texas, but not, you know, still in single digits as A&M, Alabama, LSU, all to win the SEC. Which one of these teams do you like? Which one of these teams do you hate?
I mean, by default, I like Georgia. I'm going to just take Kirby Smart blindly once again. Gunnar Stockton, they bring back a ton defensively. They also got, I don't know what they do. They always have a great schedule here. They only have 4 true road games, which is a plus compared to some teams that got to play 6 or, heck, maybe even 7. And I just think that they always find a way to get to Atlanta. And when they get to Atlanta, it's basically playing a home game. I think Georgia-Texas, we get a rematch of 2 years ago, and I'll take Kirby Smart over Sarkisian in the final once again. The team I'm out on in the SEC, I'm out on LSU. I'm fading the hype train in year number 1 of Lane Kiffin. So I know Sam Levitt comes over, super talented, but coming off an injury, too much noise for me in year number 1.
Man, hates LSU. Did you hear that, Matt?
Like the just third guy it. This week.
just like hates LSU.
Like the third guy
hates
this
your
week.
Alma mater. Real quick, Ryan, Big Ten, Ohio State, Indiana, Oregon, is it just a race between those 3 teams?
I think those are by far the 3 best teams, but don't sleep on Penn State with that schedule. They miss all 3 of the teams. They don't have it, and Oregon, Ohio State, or Indiana on the schedule. So I could see them with these mega conferences backing into a Big Ten title, but I think it ultimately will probably be Indiana, Oregon, and Indy for the Big Ten title.
He is Ryan McIntyre. Find him over the College Experience over on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network at Moneyline_Mac on the Twitter machine. Appreciate the time, buddy, and good luck.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Ryan. Good stuff.
The
over 2.5. I love that. That's a win total you can sell me on. UMass.
The LSU
they play on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, too.
Is egregious on this network.
Hate the Tigers. Everybody hates
Everyone
the Tigers.
Everyone hates the Tigers.
That's okay. It gets to be your week. The past 2 weeks, I've had to sit through Miami, pro-Miami, negative FSU stuff.
I did go into the College Football Guide thing, and I did remove LSU from winning the MAC and the Big 12 and all.
Oh, that was nice
so
of you.
At least I did do
made
that.
Made things easier for Zach. Good.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game here on VSiN. Madden for Gil. Kelly, we were looking here in this leaderboard. He did make the birdie, but so
yeah, 9
under through 13 holes.
Would you rather bet
with no eagles, by the way? So that is 9 birdies in 13 holes.
Would you rather bet right now live Keegan Bradley at 15-1, Ricky Fowler at 17-1, or Peter Malnati at 20-1?
Ricky, because just at least that way I could root for someone that I want to root for.
You actually want to win?
Okay. Yeah. Because none of the 3 are going to win.
I wouldn't bet any of those, by the way. Yes. I'm bringing them up because I don't think any of them are good bets right now.
No, none of the 3 of them are going to win, so we at least know that. Head out to the guest line. Our very own Zach Cohen going to join us here. You can find his work every single day over on VSiN.com at Betting on X on the Twitter machine. Zach, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We are rocking and rolling. I mean, we said it's officially football season. So, I mean, you know,
right.
you get to this point, you get to the end of July, we get the free pass to talk football all the time.
Yep, absolutely.
It's when Zach Cohen has to stop writing about tennis, NBA things, and has to start writing about football.
Yeah, he can
whatever
no longer
day that is. He needs to like launch. He needs to like shoot a flare up.
Yeah,
let us all know.
Yeah, he can no longer like write about 100 tournaments or whatever, anything like that. He's just like, okay, yeah, we're gonna get into some football here. And by the way, you did do that with the College Football Guide that comes out next week. Kelly and I continue to say this. We've said this every year for basically ever since we've been doing this, probably the most valuable one that we do put out, considering now with the transfer portal, the coaches moving all over the place, the position battles, all the stuff that's going on. I mean, it is trying to figure out even who plays for who and what does that mean is where you got to start, at least, and the guide will help you do that.
Yeah, the guide is tremendous. We all do, you know, great work on it. And like you said, so much is changing from year to year. Like UCLA is just James Madison now. Like you need to know this stuff. So we have you covered with all the transfers, with everything that's happening. It's really, really important that you are looking for help before betting on college football now.
Yeah, we need it as much as anybody. Okay, I know one of the conferences that you drew up was the Big 12. Biggest takeaways from the Big 12 as we head into the season?
Yeah, so I kind of wanted to go in and not really have Texas Tech. I just feel like everybody has them, but It is really difficult when you look at their schedule. They really don't have any clear losses when looking at that thing. So the over for them at 10.5 is -200, and it's for good reason. And I did see a lot of our experts in, you know, kind of proofing the College Football Betting Guide have Texas Tech to win the Big 12. But I actually do think it's going to end up being BYU. I think that BYU has a tougher road to get there. Getting to the actual Big 12 championship game will be a challenge, but I just kind of feel like you look at that team and Kalani Sitake has done such a good job with his alma mater, and he now has kind of the funding to go to war with some of these big brands in college football. And I do think that that team brought back a ton of talent from last year, including running back LJ Martin, who's one of the best in the country. They beefed up their offensive line. Bear Bachmeyer will be a sophomore, not a freshman. I think that's going to be huge as he looks to take some steps forward as a passer, because last year he was really good as a runner and just kind of above average as a passer. I think this year he kind of makes a leap as a thrower. And defensively, I have no concerns about that team. Even with the defensive coordinator having moved on, I do think this is going to be a team that does make the college football playoffs. So I have BYU over 8.5 wins, and I also have them to make the playoff.
So, Zach, when we look at the odds currently, -105 on Texas Tech to win the Big 12, BYU 550, Utah 650, and then everybody else 14-1 or longer. Does your opinion of Texas Tech change because of the Sorsby thing, or is it just the entire team as you look at them that you just kind of think, okay, at the price given, maybe a little vulnerable to a team like BYU?
Yeah, so with Texas Tech, I wrote this up in the guide, but like I have no worries about them in the regular season. I think that no matter who is under center for them, they should be fine. My concern with Texas Tech is that you see something very similar to last year where they dominate the Big 12 regular season, they get to the postseason, and that's where they begin to struggle. I think that if they play BYU in that Big 12 championship game, they'll lose because of their quarterback situation. And I think that if they go to the college football playoff, which they really should, that's where they might get, you know, beaten down in a similar fashion to what they did last year. I don't really believe in the quarterback options. I think that even if Will Hammond is healthy, I don't think that's the guy that they want under center. Obviously, they went out and paid Sorsby for a reason, and it didn't work out. Now you have a starter in there that you really proved that you don't believe in very much, and also he's coming off a torn ACL, so it's not the greatest situation in the world for them.
Zach, is there a team that's a little bit further down on the board, let's say starting at a Kansas State and getting a little bit deeper after that, a team that you think has a chance to surprise, make some noise in a good way this year, maybe make the playoffs?
Yeah, I think that would be Houston. I think the Houston 16-1 would be kind of the flyer you'd want to take. I have them to win over 7.5 games. It's like -155, a little bit juicy, but they returned 19 starters from last year. They won double-digit games last season. And Willie Fritz has just been a great coach pretty much everywhere he's been throughout his college career. And it did not take him very long to turn this Cougars team around. They are already looking like a contender in the Big 12. And I just think if Connor Wegman has a good season under center, they should be really strong. And if not, and they can find a way to kind of get out of his poor games unscathed, they have the number one quarterback in the country in the freshman class. So it's a really interesting situation there that they're going to be battling with all season, where if they, you know, do want to turn away from Wegman and opt for more upside, it is an option. But that team is completely loaded on both sides of the ball with experience, with talent. And, you know, people have been saying for years that Houston is a sleeping giant in college football. And now we've kind of seen them wake up a little bit.
Talking to our very own Zach Cohen. Zach, we had Adam Burke in earlier in the week, and he let us know that you were also working on the Heisman section here in the guide. And so want to head over to that market. Short shots being CJ Carr and Arch Manning, two of the teams that are obviously favored to have very good seasons and perhaps maybe even go very deep in the playoffs, if not win at all. Then you kind of get into the Dante Moores, projected to be a high draft pick, makes a ton of sense. Oregon getting a lot of love as well at 10-1. Saying at 12, Mensa at 12, 13 for Hoover, 13 for Trinidad Chambliss, Jeremiah Smith's at 14. I mean, there is just an absolute log jam here in that kind of middling range as well. When you dug in, I think that we've all come to the conclusion we understand the straight line for CJ Carr and Arch Manning. We get it. But as we look at some of these other guys, people don't want to put a 7 or 7.5 to 1 in their account and have their money locked up for 6 months. So where is somewhere else to look?
Yeah, and I'll say this about Carr and Manning, which is something I wrote up in the guide. Like, a betting favorite has not won the Heisman Trophy since Marcus Mariota did it. So that's not to say that they can't, but It does tend to go to somebody a little bit lower on the board. And I do think that Darian Mensah is the player that I'd be looking at sort of near the top. I just think that there's such a proven track record now of talented quarterbacks going to Miami, playing in that Shannon Dawson offense, and absolutely lighting it up. And I just think that Mensah is probably the most polished option of all of them coming into the season. I mean, what he did at Duke last season with what I believe was a poor offensive line was sensational. And now he heads to Miami, where he's going to have a really big group up front, really talented wide receivers, including his top receiver from Duke who transferred over. I think he's going to have a really big season for a really big brand. And I think that Miami wins the ACC this year and he gets a lot of credit for it. So Mensah at 12-1 is a number that really shot out to me. I feel like he should be right there with Carr and Manning when you're looking at the top of the board.
I'm going to go off the page and ask you about the quarterback of a team you brought up when you were talking about Big 12, Bear Bachmeyer, man. That's a name that just jumps off the page, Zach. Bear Bachmeyer got a chance at all?
Bachmeyer is probably a decent flyer. He wasn't one of my four picks to win it, but his rushing upside definitely gives him a chance. Like, if BYU ends up having the season that I think that they could have, they go like 10-2 and they'll potentially beat Notre Dame in a game that will be played at home. I think a lot of people are kind of ruling out BYU winning that game. I think they have a really good chance of doing so. But yeah, I think Bachmeyer has a really solid chance just based on what BYU might be able to do this season. If you really want to go a little bit further down the board, though, and I know I've heard Dustin Sweetelson say this as well, it's not exactly a hot take. I feel like everyone's kind of come to this conclusion. But Drew Mestemaker, the quarterback for Oklahoma State, led the nation in total passing yards last year, and he is now going to be playing in the Big 12 for the coach that coached him at North Texas last year. And I don't know exactly what the team success would have to look like for the Cowboys in order for him to actually get into this conversation, but we've seen players win at 8-4. So I think if that is the mark, it is realistic. And I think Mestemaker is going to be one of the best passers in the country in this, you know, leap up in competition. So not really worried about him translating to the Big 12. And I think that that's somebody to work the flyer. I think it's 75-1. So if you want to just put a little something and just hope for the best, I think that's the best kind of longer shot you could take.
Zach, last 30 seconds here, as you've kind of shifted your brain into college football mode, we see these teams at the top with the short odds. Everybody's talking about Notre Dame. Everyone thinks Notre Dame's going to get it done. You have a couple of SEC teams get thrown in there as well. Who do you think eventually takes this whole thing down?
I think it's going to be Texas. I've always been an Arch Manning guy. I think that last season, towards the end of the year, he really played very, very well. I know that the beginning of last season was ugly, but this team kind of addressed the needs that they had last season. I think the offensive line is going to be a lot better. I think his group of wide receivers is going to be much better. And I like the hiring of Will Muschamp. So there might be 2 or 3 regular season losses, but I think Texas gets in. And I think that they're the most dangerous team once they do get it.
He's Zach Cohen. Find him every day over on VSiN.com. Zach, appreciate the time, buddy, and good luck.
Thanks, guys.
If you haven't done so already, episode 2 dropped of the documentary last night. Boom. Head on over to the VSiN YouTube channel. Check it out. You can catch up with episode 1 if you happen to miss that one as well.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
Final segment, numbers game here on a Thursday. Matt and Kelly, You sent me down a rabbit hole here because you brought up the WWE stuff.
SummerSlam.
There's a page on ESPN, and it was key stats.
Oh God!
For each match. God.
This is even worse than I thought it was.
So I had to. Well, I mean, I didn't have time to read it, but it does say key stats for the match.
Wonder how many strikes were landed.
it's got to be stuff like that, right?
It's got to be takedowns, right? Takedowns has to be on there.
All right, so listen, you and I, knowing absolutely nothing about wrestling,
you find the stats. I'll go through the bets. How about that?
We're gonna have a bet on this.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm pulling up the odds
on the no, but me and I are gonna have a bet on the wrestling.
Okay,
so you just pick one side, I pick the other side. There's no odds.
Oh, there's places that have
odds. But you know what I'm saying, though. I mean, like, you and I.
Of course, I know what you're saying.
Oh, then don't pull up the. You're going to know who's supposed to win, then. Turn that off. This is cheat.
I'm trying to help the audience.
This is cheat. All right, fine. This is cheating. I only have one bet. The White Sox, the Yankees. Listen, if you don't know the name Sean Burke, I can get it because he wasn't one of those guys that you were assuming was going to be a good pitcher. He is. And not only is he good, he's been good all season long. We're talking a 320 backed up by a 316 over the season last five, a 174 backed up by a 202 last three, a 137 backed up by a 2 flat. All of that comes with a sub-1 whip and an increased strikeout rate over the past five starts as well. Microscopic walk rate. He's not putting guys on for free. And if you look at the hard contact rate, it is one of the better ones you're going to find, down at 27% over the last five starts. So Sean Burke just getting it done against a depleted Yankees lineup that I'm not scared of at all, with all these injuries and all these guys that are not in there for them. So give me the White Sox here at a little bit worse than a coin flip, but not too bad.
Yeah, there's I think I'm seeing -110 still out there.
There is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, -110 still out there. So yeah, go grab it. Good call by Larry Meir, cousin of Frank Meir.
Yes.
You know that? Do you know that about Larry?
Yes.
Okay, good. It's a good call. We should probably go over.
I go way back with Frank.
I know you do.
Go way, way back with Frank. I'm on Wyndham Clark, J.J. Spahn, Nikolai Højgaard, Davis Thompson, and Rasmus Nygaard-Peterson. If you just want to sweat along with me this, Wyndham Clark's done. So
Spahn's not teed off, though.
I don't think any of the rest of them. Davis Thompson has. Davis Thompson, he's
playing pretty well. He's out there crying.
Yeah, Davis Thompson. he's 4-under through 16.
Yeah, he's playing pretty good.
So he's around, but I think the rest haven't teed off yet. So, you know, if you want to throw those in, you can.
Yeah,
JJ, the thought here was behind Spahn was the iron play. The thought behind Højgaard was he's a bomber, and when his irons are actually on, he has really, really great iron play. And then Nygaard-Peterson was just a model play. He just modeled way higher than I thought he was going to be. And then you dig in, and he was anybody that lands inside like the top 16 but is 100-1 is going to make the card for me. And so that was strictly a model play for me.
Yeah, you know what? He actually, I think it was last week, he rated out pretty high for me, and not as much this week. It was a little odd. Okay, two awards ads for me this week in the
NFL.
There
we go, baby.
A.J. Brown, Offensive Love Player it. Of the Year. I found it at 60-1 yesterday, but I was talking about it on the show. I'd bet it at 40-1 still. I think it's a fun longer shot bet in that market where I think most of the win equity is at the top of that board for this season, but, you know. That if you got to go further down, he's one of the few I do like. Also, Jadarian Price, Offensive Rookie of the Year, 9-1. I'm in on. And then golf for me, I think all my guys are. No, I got one guy left. Chris Goddrup out there. I think he finished 2-under par.
Something around there.
Yeah. Ben Griffin and Hideki have not gotten started yet, or are just about to get started. But have both of them at 33-1. Top 10s on Hideki, a top 20 on Ben Griffin.
Okay, we're going to do a quick little snake draft.
All right, hold on real quick. We got Ryan McIntyre's college
all the win plays. Yep. Yeah,
He's over 5.5 on West Virginia, over 7.5 on Iowa, over 8.5 on Liberty, over 2.5 on UMass. Love that one. Over 7.5 on New Mexico, and over 7.5 on Marshall.
Worth noting, some of these might not be for every bankroll. Some of these were pretty juicy, but there also were some plus money ones in there as well.
Correct.
So, like, just, you know, pick and choose if you're a bankroll. You know, I don't think everybody wants to lay. I think one of them was like 184 or something like that. I don't know if people want to be laying -184, but there were a couple plus money ones in there as well, too. So yeah, he was on the other side of what the mass were thinking about some of those. So go in, pay attention to all of that. Do you want CM Punk or Cody Rhodes?
Cody Rhodes.
Okay.
He's on every commercial, so he's got to win.
So Rhodes, and that means I'm on
Plus,
Punk.
When I pull up the stats, he's just a far more skilled takedown artist.
All right, so then I get to pick Brock Lesnar against Oba Femi. I'm going to take Femi, and you're going to get Lesnar.
Okay.
And mainly because Lesnar's old. He's got a when I was at WrestleMania, he was supposedly retired, and I guess he like came out of retirement at WrestleMania.
I feel like he's retired and unretired multiple times.
And then our tiebreaker will be here. Roman Reigns or Seth Rollins, I'll let you pick. You can have Roman Reigns or Seth Rollins.
Roman Reigns is like the real massive dude, right?
He's the Hawaiian guy.
Roman Reigns. I want Roman Reigns.
I think he's The Rock's cousin in real life.
No, are you serious?
Yeah, I think. I think he's The Rock's cousin in real life.
All right. I'm going with him.
Okay. You have Reigns, and then I'm going with Rollins. And then the winner. We'll do not a whole dinner, considering we don't know
This
is all. We'll do drinks. Yeah, we'll do two rounds of drinks.
One round at the vault.
That's true. We'll go to the little speakeasy that the drinks are like $65. Yeah. So one drink is $65, but it was worth the experience.
No, it was. The only problem is when you talk, you can't go anywhere for one. Like, you can't go to a location for one drink.
I know.
We
had to have two.
Yeah, I know. Which we're going to have again.
What I will say with that as well is, if you're into the whole presentation thing, I know that some people are really into the mixology presentation type stuff or whatever, I would make your way over there. I understand it's super expensive. Just understand when you walk in, you're going to walk out going, well, that was expensive, and you kind of chuckle. But the drink presentation, and they're kind of walking you through the making of the drink and all the stuff like that. It's a cool experience.
Very cool. I also think I can't help myself every time I'm there. They have it on both sides. I think like shelves of like really old bottles of liquor.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like
we were looking them up, and some of them were like thousands of dollars worth. Mm-hmm. Like thousands. And remember the old man two seats down was getting poured from. Yep. Kelly and I were doing the whole like creepy looking over going like,
yeah, how much is that cost? There's the top shelf, and then there's the top shelf over there with like a bunch of like prohibition bottles and
he's getting his drinks made out of those, and we're just kind of like, and what did the guy tell us it was, they were like $2.75 a pop or something. Drinking like $275 a pop cocktails. And he had like three while we were there.
You know, I never once thought about this, about our $60 drinks, but man, what if you spilled your $200 drink?
Yeah, well, you got to go in there sober. Like, that should be your first drinks of the night.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, you got to be stone sober for those. So we did get a couple people, the live thing, where you know you can do like the pitch by pitch thing. You can actually bet hit by pitch if you want to do that.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
We don't have that. Mm-hmm. So we don't have micro betting here. So that's why we were unfamiliar. But I guess like with that, you can do the pitch by pitch stuff. So, I mean, I probably wouldn't do that, but you know.
Yeah, you're right. We did get a bunch of tweets about this. I guess people are betting it out there. DraftKings under the at bat posted as walk or hit by pitch for the plate appearances.
Oh, we just got it. Yes, they are cousins. The Rock is The Rock and Roman Reigns.
Hey, good job by you. I did pull up his Wikipedia page. I couldn't find it, though, that quick. Played football at Georgia Tech.
Did you? The Roman Reigns did?
Matt Elvis said, did you really?
No, Roman Reigns did?
Yeah, yeah.
I meant, did you really like try to cheat in this content in our little snake
draft?
No, I
tried to confirm your Rock knowledge, okay?
All right.
Okay. I didn't want you to look stupid.
Okay, since I'm not in here tomorrow, your gut feeling, Monday's trade deadline is going to be fun or going to be a dud? Or somewhere in between?
Somewhere in between.
Okay. So that somewhere in between means there'll at least be one kind of big-ish trade.
Mason Miller goes.
That's going to be your...
I don't know about Tarek Skubal. I have no idea what's going on there. I would think so, but I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder about that loss yesterday and how that the spirits of that team must be. But... I mean,
dude,
the division's not good.
Can we circle back to that just to end the show? The fact that Hinch went out, 2 weeks ago? Was it 2 weeks at this point? Maybe a week, whatever. And he said, this is a game 7, every game from here on out for us. And that's what you did yesterday? Oh, boy.
I just don't. By the way, we keep talking about the Orioles winning that game. They're 53-56. If they were over, if they were in the Central, they would be two games out of first. If they were in the West, they would also be, they'd be 2.5 games out of first.
Yeah, that that win total's kind of back from the dead, huh?
Yeah.
85.5. Let's go, O's.
To stay with our WWE theme, Undertaker gif.
Back, yeah, I right, know that right. one.
There we go. The Undertaker gif coming in. Guys, don't go anywhere. We're going to have prop points following us. Then Stormy and JBT take over with Money Moves. And in the afternoon, Mitch and Dustin in here for Follow the Money. Good luck on all your bets.